Hey Scott, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Joe?
Pretty good.
Good.
How was your day?
Not bad.
Good. Hey
Lot
Rob,
of
how are you?
I'm good.
Good man. Well, we have a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Today's broadcast of Indy's Local Flavor is brought to you by our great sponsors, my buddy at Ray Skillman. Josh Cones is now a team leader. Make sure you give him a call. His number is 317-665-6559. Once again, that's Josh Cones at Ray Skillman. His number is 317-665-6559. We have a new restaurant on the menu. I was in there last Wednesday. It's Indy's Historic Steer Inn, and that's approved by Guy Fieri. Their address is 5130 East 10th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46219. Their phone number is 317-356-0996. I had the beef Manhattan. Macaroni and cheese is the best in town. I had green beans with real bacon, a cherry Coke, and carrot cake a la mode, and it was outstanding.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Of course.
Is that a dine-in drive or whatever the other thing is?
Yes. They're not doing the drive-in right now, but it's a dine-in.
Okay. All
And
right.
yeah.
Dine-in driving. Yeah. No, I've looked at a couple of his, and I do want to get to that one. That sounds really neat.
Oh man, their menu is huge, and I haven't had anything bad there yet. It's outstanding, and their mac and cheese is amazing. El Jaripo, we do three other restaurants here. I think Yin Ching is cutting their services back to carry out only because of the virus. But El Jaripo, I'm pretty sure they're still doing dine in at 30 East Washington Point Drive, Indianapolis, 46229, 317-898-3921. And they have everything you can think of when it comes to authentic Mexican. They've got great appetizers, fajitas, seafood specials, chicken, of course, the traditional Mexican plates, and they've got 30 choices for combination meals. They even have vegetarian, of course. They have tacos, and of course, they have margaritas and Coronas and all that fun stuff, and burritos and enchiladas. So make sure you visit them. That's El Jaripo on the east side at 317-898-3921. Yin Ching, amazing Asian food if that's what you're in the mood for. Again, and it's carry out right now, I believe, due to the virus. Their hours are Tuesday through Friday, 11 to 2 for lunch. The Sunday buffet is 11:30 to 2:30. I don't know if they're doing the buffet right now, to be honest with you. For dinner, it's Tuesday through Thursday, 5 to 10, Friday and Saturday, 4:30 to 10:30, and Sunday, it's 4:30 to 9:30. They're closed on Monday. Their address, 8512 East Washington Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46219. Phone number is 317-899-3270. If you want to see a picture of their dishes, you can go to www.yinchingking. That's YENCHINGKING.com. And they have, I usually get the crab rangoon, but they have egg drop soup, hot and sour soup. They've got tons of appetizers. They have fried rice, of course, beef options, chicken, pork, seafood. They even have vegetarian. And they have 32 chef specials. And they've got a lunch menu with 38 choices. And they even have hot and spicy options as well. Next up is I'm a regular at the pizza place here, which I've talked about many times, Giacomo's Upper Crust Pizza. I first learned about this place. I'm still pretty sure you can dine in there. I haven't checked their website, but I'm still pretty sure you can dine in there. The first place I learned about them was on the South Side in Greenwood. That number is 317-883-8993. There's also one on the north side at Fort Bend at 317-986-4545. And I go to the one on the east side in Irvington at 317-356-6612. Their hours are 11 to 9. And the pizzas that most everybody gets are the Cheese Louise with five cheeses, the Slaughterhouse Five, which is your has all the meats. People also like the chicken barbecue. They also have a Thai option, which is really good. And they also have some veggie pizzas if you can't do that. And then they also have a meatball pizza. If you like pineapple, they have a couple options with that. And you really can't go wrong with the pizzas in there. So if you get a chance, go check them out. Their hours are 11 to 9. Northside, it's 317-986-4545. Greenwood, 317-883-8993. And on east side is 317-356-6612. If you want to see what the pizzas look like, they're on Facebook at Giacomo Pizza, or you can always check out their website at giacomopizza.com. That's giacomopizza.com. Okay, I've got some good news. I did some research on Google recently, because my buddy from Keep Nostalgia Live said pull the show up on Google and see where he's on, and I was really surprised. All the platforms we're on now. You can hear our show, of course, on anchor.fm. That's where we started. Of course, we talked about Spotify and iTunes. We're also available, and some of these I weren't even aware we were on there. We're also available on Player FM. I knew about that one. There's a couple of these I'm not familiar with, but I'm glad we're on there. These next four I'm not familiar with. We're also on Himalaya. We're also on Listen Notes. We're on Owl Tail, like Hooty the Owl. Backtracks. I was really pleasantly surprised we're now on Audible. And I knew I put in for this, but I never heard anything back about it. I'm very proud to say we're now on Amazon. So thanks for listening.
Good deal. Very good deal.
Yeah. So let's keep it going. Our podcast is a lot of sports, and then we usually have a bonus topic. Today we're going to add, it's the most wonderful time of the year because we're adding basketball to the topics today. And then football, of course, in the NCAA. Notre Dame beat up on North Carolina. yay! As Tom Slick would go,
yay!
Iowa beat Nebraska. Surprisingly, Michigan State beat Northwestern. IU beat Notre Dame easily. No, excuse me. Wrong letter there. IU beat Maryland easily. Penn State beat Michigan, and I think Harbaugh's on the hot seat. I was surprised that Rutgers beat Purdue, and two games were canceled. The Ohio State-Illinois game and the Minnesota and Wisconsin game got canceled, and Ball State beat Toledo. Guys, you got any comments over those?
Yeah, the Rutgers game, I was watching it, and we didn't get a chance to talk last week, but
right.
theft, burglary, whatever you want to call that, of the prior Purdue game where, you know, they should have won against Minnesota, but we'll leave that, you know, at 3 weeks ago. There was a point in the Rutgers game where a Purdue player was called for whatever that is, targeting, and was ejected. And really, I can't remember the player, but he was basically it as far as defense was going. Once he got tossed, I knew that Purdue wasn't going to win that one. And I was, yeah. I was mad enough about it because, in my opinion, it was so blatantly wrong. I was actually texting Scott about that Purdue just got screwed again. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the old Bugs Bunny mm-hmm. cartoon where they mm-hmm. have the screwdriver and the screw. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hear you.
Yep.
But what do you guys think about Jim Harbaugh?
I'm wondering if he wants to go back into professional coaching and he's just kind of throwing in the towel, given everything with this season.
Detroit Lions are looking for a head coach.
Oh, man. Yeah. Their current coaches, you know.
They're from Michigan, so maybe it's all coming into alignment. I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they get an offer from that because the Lions coach is from the Belichick tree, and he's just been garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So he's worse than Jim. He was worse than Jim Caldwell, and I'm not a Caldwell guy. So
that's true. That's very true. I agree with all of that.
On to the NFL this week. And I want to talk about the extended game first. The NFL has a flexible schedule, correct?
It's supposed to for some.
All right. So you're trying to tell me you have to have this game at 3:30 when you have three other networks and you can put it on.
Right.
I'm not getting the logic in that because that makes the game 12:30 in California.
Right.
So you guys know why it's 3:30, right?
Because of the Christmas tree lighting. NBC didn't want to put that on over the Christmas tree lighting.
That's exactly right. And that's, to me, that's 1,000% garbage. So
they didn't. That Heidi won again.
Right. The Raiders win, and nobody saw it. That's just so baloney. But, you know, yeah, it's the Ravens and the Steelers at 3:30 tomorrow on NBC. So, you know, make sure you're streaming the NBC Sports app or something. I don't know. Nice little plug for – give me a break.
My whole thing on that is it's been rescheduled three times, and if it was, you know, Denver and whoever beat up on them, was it the Saints?
Yeah.
The Saints, yeah.
If it was that game, it wouldn't have been rescheduled. It's like you play with the players you that are healthy, and that's why I said, you know, is it a flexible schedule? It depends on who's playing.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's all about Lamar Jackson, which I get it, but, you know, oh, well. Week 12, which is the last week before the playoffs for fantasy, Texans beat the Titans. Excuse me. Let me start over. Texans beat the Lions Thursday. The Bills beat the Chargers. The Patriots upset the Cardinals, which I thought was interesting. The Browns beat the Jaguars. The Saints beat the Broncos. I was surprised the Niners beat the Rams. You can't stop Mahomes, and then Tyreek Hill ran for 1 million yards after the catch. So, you know, what are you going to do there? The Packers beat up on the Bears Sunday night. The Eagles, man. Wow. Seahawks beat the Eagles last night. And Carson, the quarterback, he was just – he didn't have a line. The line just ate him up. I was embarrassed by the Falcons-Raiders game with no Julio Jones, 43-6. I'm like –
no Todd Gurley either.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Gurley didn't play. Not to pile on or anything.
I'm telling
you,
man. I am telling you that defensive coordinator for the Raiders needs to get the hook before Christmas. Forget about it. And then I want your feedback, guys, about the Colts game where the Titans just had a field day. And I'll give you 14 points for people being injured, but not, you know, not almost 20.
that was inexcusable.
So, or if those, there were three out on defense, two of them for COVID, two offensive linemen out, starting running back, which is really the backup running back, plus the backup to the backup got hurt. You know, if maybe those players that were out are that valuable to the team, you know?
Well, I mean, look what Henry did to us. I mean, I guess DeForest Buckner is worth every penny we're paying him.
Right. And maybe that is it, because that game was, I think, before the Colts played the Titans the first time, I said, you can't give Henry 200 yards and two touchdowns, you know? And that's pretty much what happened. I don't know if he got two touchdowns. He got three. He had three touchdowns
in the first half.
Yeah, he ran over him like a steamroller.
So yeah, it was ugly. It was not fun. But I'm not like a lot of the folks talking about that game in some of the shows I've seen. I'm not counting them out of the playoffs yet. But it seems consistently a lot of them are. They're like, oh, Colts suck. No, they're.
Well, regardless of the injuries, that dropped them from third in the. In the AFC to seventh now.
We'll have to fight. So I know that.
They've got a couple tough games,
well,
too. So
in town this week, so you know, that's always a club.
Yeah. No, Will Fuller's out for the rest of the year. He got suspended.
That takes something.
That'll
get it.
Illegal substance.
Oopsie.
Claims the doctor gave it to him. And
that's codeine for your cough. Okay.
Well, at least.
Yeah. But yeah, he's out the rest of this year and the first game of next year.
Semi consistent on that, because I can't remember who the Colts player was, but he was like pivotal on the defense years ago, and he was going through I think it was infertility treatments and things like that, and they said no, you're done, even over that.
Was that Corey Simon? I'm kidding.
I'm kidding. No, that was Mathis. Robert Mathis.
Yeah, it was Mathis.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, it was Mathis. Yeah.
The preview for next week: Saints at the Falcons, Lions at the Bears. If the Raiders lose to the Jets, I'm going to lose it. Colts at the Texans, Browns at the Titans. My favorite name, the Washington football team at the Steelers. Rams at the Cardinals. Broncos at the Chiefs. Bills at the Niners. And then the rescheduled game. Cowboys at the Ravens.
There's like three Monday night games, aren't there?
And then they moved the Cowboys-Ravens game to Tuesday because of the virus.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't even have the Ravens in my top 10. Nor do I have the Bucs, because, you know, I'm sorry, but if that happens, I believe it's upwards of the fifth or sixth time a Ravens game has had to be moved. And I don't think any other team has had that many, you know, with all of this. So why bend over backwards so hard for one team?
Well, Lamar Jackson's on the cover of Madden 21.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Well,
what do you guys think about next week's games? Anything that stands out
to
you?
Well, the one tomorrow, the Steelers are going to win that, even though it's this past week. And God willing, they'll lose the following week, but probably not. So,
to Washington?
Anything's possible the way they're playing. I mean, if you know, there were a lot of stinky games this last week. So much that, you know, I wouldn't have thought the margins were that big, but you know, maybe it's the separation's happening with a lot of these teams, and you know, we'll see.
Cause I'm waiting on Claypool. All he's got to do is he has to come through for me and I'll sneak one out, but everything else I'm good on. So, but yeah, it was crazy week in fantasy too, actually.
Oh yeah, my last 2 weeks have been dumpster fires just because of COVID and, you know, trying to switch people out. I do have Mostert and the other guy, Eckler, coming back, which is good. But, you know, I get up and they'd been saying Mark Andrews was questionable. And then all of a sudden, right before what was supposed to be the Sunday game, because it had been rescheduled from the Thursday game, oh, he has COVID now.
Right.
It's like, okay, well, he probably had COVID on Thursday, so why tell me now? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so our new feature that we're going to start doing every week is NCAA basketball. Today was a big day. I didn't know how many. There's a bunch of invitationals.
Yeah, Rob's got to be happy. Purdue won by, what, 40-something, and IU lost
right,
by 22.
Yes. Texas beat IU, and Purdue beat Oakland, and it's not the Raiders, so, yeah.
Good Lord, IU looked horrible out there today. As good, they looked good yesterday against Providence, but, man, Texas just clobbered them today.
I guess Walton was a clown in the game yesterday with Providence, but.
Oh, Walton's there. Oh, I love listening to Bill
really?
Walton. Jeez.
Did you ever see the time where Jay Billis got out and walked out of the gym because of Walton? Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I love Jay Billis, so.
Okay. I think Scott and I have had this conversation before. How in the heck did somebody with the integrity and just absolute be so legendary as Coach Wooden to have the exposure to a person like that and turn out the way Bill Walton has? I just, no. it dumbfounds me.
Well, he was the number one player in high school at the time. That's why. So, that's why. Let's see. Tonight, there's a couple big games as well. I think there's one going on soon. Michigan State and Duke at 7:30 on ESPN. Green Bay has Wisconsin tonight. And then
Wisconsin's winning by 22 right now.
Oh, okay. And South Dakota has Nebraska at 9 tonight on the Big Ten Network.
Is Illinois legit?
I haven't seen them.
God, they won their first two games
by
10 30 points
already,
each?
Preseason ranking, we're 7th, I think.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. I just have an antenna, so I don't see any of the games.
Yeah.
So, over the weekend, Nebraska beat North Dakota State. Michigan State beat Notre Dame. Penn State beat VMI, Virginia Military Institute. Minnesota beat Loyola Marymount. And Ball State lost to Northern Kentucky. And Richmond upsets the Wildcats of Kentucky. So,
I did see that.
Richmond could be like this year's Dayton
really?
From last year. I think they got a chance to. I think they got a chance to make some noise this year.
Yeah, they have. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't even know what league they're in. I couldn't even tell you that.
That's a good Trivial Pursuit question.
Is that like the Atlantic? Is that like the Atlantic 10 or something?
I thought they were. I don't know.
So, okay.
Atlantic 10, yeah.
So our bonus topic tonight is our first cars and all of our, if you guys want to do all the cars that you've had over your lifetime and then your favorite dream cars or whatever, that's fine. But I do have a trivia question for you or a fact or whatever you want to say. Did you guys ever watch Dukes of Hazzard?
Oh, yeah.
And we all know the name of that car, right? Do you guys know the fact about those cars?
About how many were destroyed when taping that show? No.
Yep. Sounds like you know the answer.
No, it was a ton, and it makes me cry every time I think about it.
Yeah, they destroyed 3 Dodge Chargers per show.
Yep, that was it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Every time. Because they didn't have CGI.
May God rest their souls, every single one of them.
Yeah, so that's why the Dodge Chargers are rare. The original 70s Dodge Chargers are rare now.
So, that was a good show. That was a good show.
You guys want to go ahead with your cars?
I can, yeah.
Sure.
And none of the cars I've ever owned are, you know, would be anything like a 70s Dodge Charger or anything like that.
Me neither.
You know, but the very first car I owned, and I think it just goes to being 16 and getting your first car. That's the car I've loved the most. And it was I think I got it in 1988, and it was a 78 Olds Delta 88. The thing was a tank.
That's a nice car. Yeah. That's a nice car.
It was a tank. And it was one of those back in the day, you know, it was literally a tank. It had at least a 20, maybe a 25 gallon gas tank. I could fill up for $20, right? And it would drink gas like water. And if I'm questioned on dates and times, all I'll say is when I was on the interstate out in open road at a certain speed, it would just float like you're on a cloud.
Nice.
Yeah. And on the back of it, I'd found a bumper sticker when I was out doing something, and it said urban assault vehicle. And so that was what was on the back of my Delta 88.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Scott.
My very first car was got it back in 1992 when I was 16. Was a 1984 Oldsmobile Firenze.
I remember those.
So, yeah. I think I paid like $1,200 for it at the time. So, yeah.
Nice.
That sounds very similar to the one I'd gotten that, I think mine was like $1,600 at the time, and we'd done the research, and it was somebody who had babied it and everything like that.
Right.
And the first year or two that I owned it, it was parked in the school parking lot. And one of the guys from shop class had been working on the instructor's truck's brakes and was taking it around the parking lot to test the brakes. And came around a corner and rear-ended the back of my car. So I'd only had it a year or two. It was beautiful. Insurance declared it totaled, handed me a check for the difference. So my car was paid within a year or two. And I got some really good street cred because when the sheriff's office showed up to go and look at it to have a police report filed because my parents insisted on it.
Yeah, of course.
The school basically all saw me get in a police car, and you know the rumor started flying. So that was that was a pretty good week for me.
Rob becomes a street pharmacist.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, what do you do? It must be really, really, you know. Tied to some stuff. It's
funny. This car was not glamorous by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, Rob, I did want to tell you on Public Enemy's first album, Yo Bum Rush the Show, they talk about their favorite car, which is a Olds 98.
Yeah.
So
mine was right there with it, and you know there's days I miss it.
Oh sure. My first car, I got it in 1985. Got it from an elderly woman that went to church in the grocery. That was it. I got my learners when I was 15, so I was driving with my dad, and then 16 I was driving it. So the 1978 Ford Fairmount Black.
Oh, nice.
So we upgraded the stereo system, I want to say with a JVC cassette player and FM AM stereo. So that worked out really well. But so what that meant was I'd take my buddies to school, and I was in the high school band at the time, all the band events. But when we weren't doing that, living in Anderson, my dad didn't want me driving on I-69 to get to Indianapolis. I'm like, well, when you go to Indianapolis, I got a car. So he did. My dad didn't want me going on 69. I'm like, okay. So he said, you can get to Indianapolis going to State Road 9 south to 40 west. I'm like, okay. So we found, me and my buddies found a place we wanted to go to. And it was Comic Book Carnival on the east side, right by Washington Square. So we drive down from Anderson to Greenfield, make the right on US 40. It's about, I don't know, 20 minutes on US 40, and you pass Washington Square. And then you make a right to get to Comic Book Carnival, and then you had to make a left at the stoplight. Well, the problem was, there's a bunch of, and it's still like this over here on the east side. There's a bunch of concrete medians over here, which drives me nutty. And I get it, but there's tons of concrete medians over here. So we make the left to go into Concrete Carnival. It's in a little strip mall. But there's no entrance straight from Mitthoffer. There's no entrance straight from Mitthoffer, so you have to make a left on, I don't know, 16th Street or whatever. So me and my buddies have to do a U-turn, and they're all freaking out, you know, screaming bloody murder, and then we make it to Comic Book Carnival. So we would do like that once a month. However, because I had that car, I went to so many concerts at Market Square, it was unreal. So there you go.
There are some really good fun memories in the first cars, because I remember being out with buddies. The thing we would do where we were at, we would either go down to Greenwood or even go further mm-hmm. south to Franklin to go cruising. And some of my buddies had really, really, really nice cars for the time, and maybe even still today. And so we would cruise in those cars. But on this particular night I was driving, we're down in Greenwood, and they're doing median construction. So when you start talking about medians,
I
got to thinking about that. Well, they were actually doing, I didn't know it at the time, complete and total lane replacement on the other side. So I didn't get the memo. I wasn't paying attention, you know, being 16 or 17, and, you know, my buddy's in the car. We went down into where the construction was, and we spent some time trying to get out of there, and we did, but it's you know, that's when things that we, you know, be aware of today, or maybe get more stressed out about us, it was the end of the world.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's kind of like the Blues Brothers when they
exactly
fall into the crater.
It was exactly like that.
Do you guys have the list of all the cars you've ever owned?
I can list them, because when I buy them, I keep them, and I don't lease, and I don't buy new. And so when I pick one out, it's any more economical. I know when I, the next car that I got, I was a sophomore in college, because, you know, the Delta 88 was dying. I had ridden it hard and put it away wet. And my grandfather found, he had a friend who was a auto mechanic and had all sorts of cars and deals and, you know, just takes on things. And so it was a 84 Cavalier, and that would have been probably about 92. And it was economical to go back and forth to college and things like that. And I remember walking into the license bureau to do the paperwork and everything like that. And we get up to the, and we knew what, you know, how we were going to pay for it and everything else like that. But my grandfather didn't want me paying taxes on it, or he didn't want to have to pay taxes on one or the other. So basically he said, I'm giving my grandson this car.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and, but that was my second car, and that lasted until I think I got, after I'd graduated, which would have been 3 or 4 years ago, and the new engine that had been put in it had finally burnt out, and it was time I was starting a new life, because I graduated and I was going to get my first job. And the next one I got was like a 90, I want to say, let's see, that would have been 1995. I think I got a 94 Pontiac Sunbird. And okay. Yeah. And I drove the wheels off of that one. And the car I think I've had the longest, it was actually a Ford Ranger that I had for like 11 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And the next one after that, I was dating a girl and I was pretty sure I was going to get engaged to her. And eventually we did get married. But she had a son and the truck wasn't cutting it. So I got a Ford Escape and it lasted me another 11 years or so. Mm-hmm. And then it was about this time last year. Actually, it was a year ago this week. I got a Dodge Journey Crossroad.
Nice.
Yeah. So, and I think, Joe, at one time I showed you a picture of it. It is silver with black wheels, and I call it the Raider wheel.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I'll have to make sure you get a chance to see that. It is. It's silver with black wheels.
And you drove Al Davis around it. And I love like, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Scott, do you have a list of all the cars you've had?
Some of them. My freshman year in college, I was down in Evansville. I was still driving the car I had in high school, which was the old one. Still. And the engine went out on it when I was down in college. So, yeah. So, my dad ended up getting a new car and gave me his, I think it was like a 91 Jeep Cherokee to drive around while I was while I was down in college. So that was my second car. Trying to remember after that. I drove that for about probably 2 or 3 years. And then after that, I got a Toyota Corolla, which,
that's a great car.
Which I had until that lasted me a while. I had that up until I got, pretty sure I had that up almost until I got married. That's how long that lasted. And got a Honda CR-V shortly after.
That's a great car too. I have to say a big thank you to Matt's Automotive Service in Anderson. He saved the Ford Fairmount because I want to say after about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years, they rebuilt the engine. So I was able to drive that car much longer than I had it. The cars I had, I didn't have a car in college. I didn't take the bus that much in Muncie, but the busing system in Muncie is really pretty good. So I would take that out to the mall occasionally, but not much. And then I had, after I did my internship at, Hoosier Hot 96. I needed to. I would drive. I would drive all the way from Anderson to the Pyramids.
Ouch.
To work for free.
Ouch.
In my internship, which is bananas. Yeah. So it was a blue 93 Chevy Cavalier, and it was insane, guys. Because I would go down there. I'd work from like 8 to 4 at Hoosier Hot 96. And I'd go work at the Carmen Music Store on 86th in Michigan. And then I was doing weekends at the local country radio station. So I was working like 60 hours a week and getting paid for like 20. And my friend, I was asleep in my bedroom and it was like 10 o'clock on a Saturday. And my friend from St. Louis called me and she said, and I pick up the phone and I said, thanks for calling Carmen. This is Joe. How can I help you? I mean, I was just gone. I was totally gone. So I had 2 Chevy Cavaliers, blue, and then I ended up getting a silver Chevy Cavalier because we were part of the Chevy family, GM family. And the next car I got after that was a Chevy Impala sandstone color. And then we got away from the GM products because the Impala had sludge in it at the end, so we had to get rid of that. So we went to I got the Toyota Scion XB, which was silver, and then I ended up with you guys ever give nicknames to your cars?
I never did.
Okay.
Yeah, I never. Okay. Now, I kind of wish I had, but I never did that.
So my last car was a Honda Accord four door sedan, and my nickname for it's Black Beauty.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
All right. Yeah, my family was primarily on my mom's side, at least, all GM. I remember they would, you know, well, GM and Dodge on that side. They their pride and joy were Buicks growing up.
Sure.
That was the car from my mom's mom and dad. And then towards their more of their retirement and their golden years, they did start moving to Cadillacs. And to this day, my mom and my aunt both drive Cadillacs. So that's the car.
Those are nice cars. Yeah. Those are nice cars.
Yeah. Mine is, I don't know that I'm going to be going more with a luxury car, you know, as I start maybe getting better. But some of the cars that were fun, I mean, none of them were mine, but in high school, a guy I worked with, he had an 86 Grand National.
Sure.
And it had nitrous in it. And and we went joyriding one day. The power at work had gone down. I was like, dude, let's head over to Dairy Queen, talk to, I knew some of the girls over there, so we were going to talk to them. And so I was like, you know what will this car do with nitrous? He's like, here, I'll show you. So we go out on the highway, and it goes from like 40 to 50 to 55. And when we get to like 50, 55, he turns the nitrous on. And I've never been in a car doing 55 miles an hour where the tires squeal at 55 miles an hour.
Right. Sure.
That I remember that.
You got a funny story about riding in your car, Scott?
You said you were asking if we had any nicknames. I didn't have any for my car, but I remember back in elementary school, I would carpool with one of my friends. And his dad had this, and I don't know what kind of car it was, but it was just like a big old hoopty car. And it was pretty much camouflage green. And everybody in the class nicknamed that thing the tank. And you could hear the car. It's like in the movie Uncle Buck. If you remember that, when he pulls up, you could hear that thing coming from like a mile away. And, you know, we would be when I was in elementary school, we'd have to wait outside, you know, after our parents dropped us off for lowering.
Right.
And every time we heard that car pull up, we'd, oh, Aaron's here. Like, look. Yes. But yeah, it was the Uncle Buck car pretty much.
Wow.
That is awesome.
I'll never forget me and my buddy Craig and Dave. We were driving down to Cotton Book Carnival, and we're right around. There's this building that has a bunch of stuffed animals on it, and it's in between Anderson and Greenfield, and there's a flashing red light there, and we go past there, and we're probably 16, 17, or whatever. And we're riding along going south, and there was this there was this car with like three girls going north, and they looked us all dead in the eye, right? And we all of our heads turn, and we keep on going, and Dave's in the back seat, and he says, "Turn the car around now." So
those were the days.
Yeah.
I'd have to say my closest near-death experience in one was, because that's what that sounded like, but this was after I'd been in the work force for a while, and I started a new job, and a friend of mine that was kind of training me, walking through the steps, there was another employee there that trusted him enough to give him the keys to her husband's Porsche 911.
Oh, oh boy. Oh boy.
And I mean, it was eye opening. After he got done driving it, because he's like, you know, there was a point there where we're flying. I mean, flying,
right, of course.
And my hands are dug into the dash, the whole thing, you know, and he, you know, he has this look on his face like, you know, we're all going to die. But after it's all done, he's like, you want to drive it? I was like, no, I do not want to drive this car. No. So that was probably the most exhilarating car I've ever been in. But it's something that I would not own.
Right.
And definitely not drive somebody else's. So.
Right. You guys watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee on Netflix?
I've seen it. I haven't watched. I mean, I've seen the advertisements.
I have not gotten a chance to watch any of those episodes now.
Oh, man. You guys are missing it. You guys like Mel Brooks?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's this one with Seinfeld. You guys know who Carl Reiner is?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. Jerry Seinfeld goes and picks up Carl Reiner for breakfast in a Rolls Phantom. And he says it's basically like driving a couch. I mean, there's no turn radius, no nothing. So they go to the restaurant, and I thought this was humorous. Reiner, who's Jewish, has a boatload of bacon. I'm talking about 4-inch high stack of bacon. And he says the crispier the better. So he's talking about, you know, making your show of shows, and talking about his television career. And then he says, he asks Seinfeld, are you going to meet us for dinner? And he's like, yeah. So Seinfeld drives over there in a green Porsche Carrera 911. And he gets there, and Mel Brooks is there, and Carl Reiner is there. And Mel Brooks tells you everything you want to know about Blazing Saddles and his movies. And before Reiner passed away, they did this, got together every night. They would record Jeopardy and watch it during dinner. Every night. So yeah, great episode. If you guys like Cars, that show's amazing.
Okay. No, that's good.
And if you guys like Ricky Gervais, when he gets in the car, it's just priceless.
yeah. No, someday I will own a Hellcat. Getting back to the Dodge Charger, you know, I think the Hellcat is it for me. If not the Hellcat, it would be a Roush or Shelby Mustang of some sort.
Oh, nice. Those are great cars.
One of my favorite movies that wasn't in the top 10 list of recent creation is Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, that was a great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, he threw the monkey wrench at him. Well, shut up.
I didn't even know how that ended. That shocked me. And
yeah,
you know, the whole play out of that, but it was good. And because I remember telling somebody in my first job, it was a lady I was working with, and she and her husband were expecting, I think it was their first child.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if they'd done the test to see if it was a boy or a girl yet, but I said, it doesn't matter. Name it Shelby.
right.
Because if you'd bought a Shelby when they came out at the time, that would have been, Jesus, 25 years ago. You know, if you'd bought it then, it's worth $1 million today. So,
yeah. What's your dream car, Scott? Or cars?
I've always been a Corvette fan, and a 67 Corvette is it's on the top of my list.
Okay.
That rings a bell with when I was in college, and it was really, really cool at the time. One of the guys, I don't know if he was in my class, he might have been a year older, but his father was custodian, maybe the manager of supervisor of the custodians at the college. And therefore, his son was able to go there, I believe, free of charge. Mm-hmm. So they took the money, and he drove a 53 Corvette.
Yeah.
So we all drilled over that one. So
I have several. My muscle car would be a 69 Camaro Super Sport Black.
Yep.
Are you guys from? When fantasy football isn't going on, I play games on my phone. Are you guys familiar with the car McLaren?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'd have one of those. If I was driving the family around, I would like a Range Rover. What else? Let's see. Something really unique. Oh, and of course, Aston Martin. You can't go wrong with that.
Aston Martin. I've maybe a more working person's version is an MG. I've always liked MGs.
Oh yeah, those are great cars too.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a story about Range Rovers. If you like Range Rovers,
sure.
And I don't think I've ever shared this one on this show before, and it shocks me because it's a sports show, but. There was a charity event at Victory Field where the Indianapolis Indians play, and it included basically NBA Pacers players against NFL Colts players for charity.
Right.
And we were there, and I believe at the time the captain for the NBA team was Paul George.
Yeah.
And the captain for the Colts team was Robert Mathis.
Yeah.
And the lady and her daughters that I were there with, they spent a big part of that trying to get players' autographs. So
sure.
By the end of the day, they had gotten both Paul George's autograph and Robert Mathis's autograph.
Right.
And we just followed them out to see if we could get more autographs and everything else like that after the game ended. And, we'd found kind of where they'd been parking. And so we camped out under some trees and stuff like that. And as they're driving out, you've never seen so many Range Rovers in your life. It was like everybody owned a Range Rover.
I can believe that.
That's funny. And if it wasn't the following day after that, it was 2 days after that, Paul George announced he was leaving Indiana.
That wasn't on him though.
Well, and I called her up. I go, is your daughter still going to keep that t-shirt with his autograph on it?
That's funny. That's funny. Yeah, that'll be interesting what the Pacers do this year.
I'm hopeful. We'll see if the coach, whose name I still can't pronounce, will be a good force. Yeah.
Coach Nate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coach Nate. Part two.
The return of Pacers basketball. Coach Nate.
It's the Indiana Nates.
Yeah. What do you guys think about a Gordon Hayward for 30?
I'm glad the Pacers didn't mortgage the future to get him. Because he's what? He's already 30. Is he 30 yet? He's got to be close. So he's maybe got one or two good years left before he starts going on the downside of his career. And yeah, if they could have gotten him cheap, good, but yeah, for what I guess from what I heard from what Boston was asking, their asking price was just way too high. Because it would have had to been a sign and trade. For the Pacers to be able to get them, so
Yeah, I'm hopeful for the Pacers. I mean, it's just, you know, it's really tough to compete against Milwaukee and Miami. So that's tough to do.
We all know it's going to be LeBron and the Lakers again.
Not necessarily.
No, we know it. It's already arranged. You know me and my conspiracies.
Could be. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the car that I was most impressed with when I was a kid. Well, Batmobile. Yeah, you know.
Smoking the Bandit Trans Am.
You can't go wrong with that either.
Yeah. That was my early one. Yeah. And of course the Dodge Charger from Dukes of Hazzard. Well, I won't call it what its name is, but
I was always
it's the General Lee. He's still a general, the General Lee. So
he's a general for now. We'll see what happens.
I was always a fan of the Kit from Knight Rider, so.
Oh yeah, that was a good one.
Sure. Yeah.
Kit was awesome. Awesome.
And as a 5-year old, the talking car just mesmerized me.
Oh sure.
I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, no, that was in there because that was it. Yeah, those three cars, the Batmobile, definitely.
The Monsters mobile was pretty stinking cool too. So it had some horsepower in it. So
and then there's other ones that are just humorous because now that I think about it, is it the movie Stripes where they basically go and kidnap that RV looking thing that's top secret and isn't it called an urban assault vehicle? And that that and then of course the family truckster.
Yeah, great movie. Let's see. When I was a kid, my my parents had a light blue Plymouth Fury, and you could seat 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and the back seat faced the street. So, and it had 5 doors on it. So,
my dad might have had one of those from his parents because I definitely remember a car that had a seat that faced backwards. It was like a big station wagon, and in the 70s, early 80s, I thought, this thing's from like the 50s, and maybe it was, but I'll have to ask him about that.
Yeah. And this was a 70s car, but I would hate to see how much it cost to fill the tank up with that monster.
I'll tell you one that I do remember, and it was a 50s car, and I wish I'd been a little bit more on it, but there was an old Chevy pickup truck my grandfather would always use around the farm for chores, and it was rusted out and beat up and everything else like that. And, towards his retirement, things like that, he just stored it in a barn, and somebody came along and bought it one day. Frame, I think, was perfect, and I wish I could have had that as a project, but it is what it is now. So,
and then I always liked the Woody cars, the surfer station wagons.
Yep,
those were pretty cool.
A buddy of mine, the same guy that was driving the Porsche that day, he's a car buff big time. And, he has his father, basically passed down a Roadrunner.
Yeah, sure. Oh, great car.
Yeah.
And, the Maserati from the original Longest Yard that Burke Reynolds trashed.
Yeah.
It was a great car.
It's also one of my favorite lines and cars is, Joe Walsh, my Maserati does 185. I lost my license. Now I don't drive.
That's great. Great, great song. Life's been good to me so far.
Right.
All right. We got to wrap this up for everybody in the U.S., the Netherlands, England, Germany, Ireland, Australia, Sweden, Botswana, South Africa, Ghana, Singapore, Canada, Israel, and we've just added Costa Rica. Thank you for listening. The time has come, friends. If you enjoy this show, please subscribe at anchor.fm. Even a dollar of your donation helps. This episode is brought to you by the letter C as in car, Joshua 1, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5:7. Praying for the virus to end quickly and for Rob and Scott. I'm Joe Carney for Indy's Local Flavor, and we'll see you soon.